Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, Andy Pate, filling in for John Rush, who is having a very well-deserved and belated birthday off. Happy birthday, John, wherever you are. I hope you're having a great day. Now on the line with us, I've been waiting for this one, we have Joe Jackson. Joe is the communications director for the Colorado Republican Party. Joe, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Andy. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, thank you, sir. Thanks for coming on. I do a lot of the, you know, web warrior type thing. I'm on Facebook all the time. Why am I telling you this? Because that is where you have lots of liberty people talking, and I'm one of them. I'm a big Tea Party. Mm-hmm. These folks, there is a lot of complaints going on at times about the Colorado Republican Party. What are they doing? Aren't they doing anything? And you may not know this, I've actually worked in the party. I've worked in county leadership and so forth. And I constantly tell them, folks, there's a ton going on behind the scenes. And you would be amazed at how much work is actually being done. But Joe, I thought I'd have you come on today and kind of explain to people just what is going on behind the scenes to help churn Colorado red.
Yeah, well, of course, I'm excited to be on and happy to talk about all this. And I think you kind of hit the nail on the head here with there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that we're doing. Chairman Buck has, from day one, has been focused on building out an organization that's focused on reelecting President Trump, reelecting Senator Gardner, and then winning Republican seats up and down the ballot here in Colorado. So he's built out an organization and infrastructure that has 50 staffers across the state, field staffers from Mesa County to Larimer County to Weld County to Denver to you name it, we have people there. We have 12 field offices. We've made over 4 million voter contacts. Last weekend, we knocked on our 1 millionth door. So we have a bunch going on. We have programs, the Trailblazer program that's helping state legislative candidates, and we're kind of doing everything we can to turn out a huge ground game and make sure that we're putting the president, Senator Gardner, and our candidates across the state in a good position to win come, you know, 33 days from now.
Now, the Trailblazer program, that's a really good idea because in the past, let's face it, we would have people who would want to run for office and they would just jump in because maybe they have a lot of good ideas, maybe they've always wanted to help, and then they would just be swimming because they had no idea how a campaign actually runs or how to reach their audience. What does this program do for them?
Definitely. Well, the Trailblazer program, basically, there's 42 state candidates that have bought into this program, and we have a political director, Eric Mitchell, who does a great job of training them, talking to them about how they can fundraise, giving them lists, making sure they're all in compliance with finance laws, helping with communications and strategy, as well as tying them into our field program across the state. We have one large field program that I mentioned earlier that's comprised of Trump Victory, Senator Gardner's campaign, the Colorado GOP, as well as these down-ballot candidates. So we don't want to duplicate efforts. So when people are running for city council or state ledge, they're going to be running and working with people that are also trying to help President Trump or Senator Gardner in their community.
Okay. How would you say things are going right now with voter registration? I know that's been a real problem. And for those who don't know, a lot of people got really angry in 2018. I understand this. It was a terrible blue wave. But 2018 was kind of the culmination of a number of things. First of all, during that year, our president was not popular here. It's the truth. He wasn't in Colorado. He plays very well in the Midwest, not as well as some other places, right? I think he's more popular now. But also, we had just taken in wave after wave after wave of people moving into our state who had primarily liberal views. Would that be pretty fair?
Yeah, I'd say that's fair, but I think this cycle we've done a better job of really kind of reaching across to some of those unaffiliated voters and really explaining to them why our candidates, from President Trump to Senator Gardner to whoever's running, has better policies and is going to be a better steward of the state moving forward. So I think, we kind of changed a little bit of the messaging and made sure that we're talking to them about results, things like
take a step back here. What did you change in the messaging? Because I've noticed that the registration numbers, they're ticking up for the Republicans, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They are. And I think part of that has to do with what we've seen from the Democrat leadership the last couple of years under, Governor Hickenlooper and Governor Polis. People are frustrated. But also we've seen from policies that the president and Senator Gardner supported, things like the tax cuts or moving the Bureau of Land Management to Grand Junction or moving Space Command to Colorado, the Great American Outdoors Act, actionable items like this that people are excited about and passionate about, and they're realizing that Republicans are the ones that are leading the way and getting things done on behalf of the state.
All right, before we get to message changing, which you've done, by the way, you've done a great job. That's all I've been hearing about you. You're just doing a great job. What would you say has been the impact of the riots? Because it seems like nationwide that the more the riots rage in the inner cities, and everybody knows these are virtually 100% Democrat rioters, burning, looting, shooting, beating, and doing all this kind of stuff. It seems that wherever the riots rage more out of control, Republican registration rises. Do you see that kind of an impact?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a correlation there. I mean, I think anyone that's driven through downtown Denver or past the Capitol in the last couple of months has seen kind of the toll that these riots have taken here in Colorado as well. I mean, we see on the evening news things in Kenosha and around the country. But even here in Colorado, we're not immune. We've seen $1 million worth of vandalism to the Capitol. And, Democrats and Progress Now and all of them are trying to just wipe it under the bridge and say it doesn't matter. But I think, people are looking at this and saying, I don't want to burn down, these family-owned businesses downtown. I don't want to destroy our beautiful Capitol buildings. And they want to, they want to see some impact on these policies, but they don't want to see anarchy in the streets. So I think that's definitely something where our candidates are talking about solutions and their candidates are unfortunately kind of ginning up the riots.
I know it sounds like kind of a slam, kind of negative, but is there any way that our side can simply tell people when our side rallies, you don't have to board your windows?
I think that's a...
Go ahead.
I think that's a good point. I mean, I think we're focused on results, not resistance, which the other side can't say. I can't remember the last time we lost an election and our people went out in the streets and started burning stuff down or, causing huge amounts of vandalism. So I think that's a huge contrast that you point out.
Oh, I remember that. That actually happened never.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't do that because it just seems to me, and you're talking to a guy, I was raised as a hardcore Marxist left-wing Democrat, all right? Now I'm on the other side, okay? I'm now this, hardcore right-winger. And it just, one thing that's really become simple for me to see is that we're the good guys. We don't threaten you. My goodness, when there's a Tea Party rally, afterward the place almost looks cleaner than when it started. They, pick things up. It's crazy. And when I see a left-wing rally, the place looks like end times. So I just kind of wonder if we are seeing people realize that more than ever, because we've always been able to say this, but with what's going on in the inner cities, now people are actually seeing it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very good point. And I think, too, our party's done a good job of bringing some new people along into the fold, people like Warren Boebert and Senator Gardner keeps chugging along and new people coming in and bringing new ideas and new leadership. Whereas the Democrats, the same old tired politicians, we're going to run John Hickenlooper again. even with all his baggage and ethics issues. So I think that's one more thing where our side can say we're looking forward towards the future of Colorado, not looking backwards.
Sounds excellent. Hey, tell you what, we've got a question for you, but first, can I hold you over the break?
Yeah.
All right. Folks, you're listening to Joe Jackson, the communication director from the Colorado Republican Party, right here on Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.
Transform your kitchen into a place where you and your guests want to be. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens loves hearing from their clients once they start enjoying their new space. They hear all the time that people start cooking more often, spending more time in the kitchen. Your kitchen becomes the place where kids and grandkids naturally gather to chat. All of those little details, which you and the Enchanted Kitchens design team plan out so thoughtfully ahead of time, work together to create a space that feels comfortable and inviting, so everyone gravitates toward the kitchen more often. Many clients even say they spend more time at home because they enjoy their houses more. Your kitchen becomes the place where you and your guests want to be. You have time to transform your kitchen before the holidays, but you need to begin now. Mention Rush to Reason for a free in-home design consultation. KLZradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever, and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important. Your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
You're listening to KLZ 560. I'm Nicole Pascal here with your traffic and weather. So far, things aren't doing too horrible out there. You are going to need to look out for some road work that has the roadway reduced down to one lane on I-70 East at E-470, and that one's causing backups to US 40. Also be aware, Arapahoe Road is closed due to a damaged gas line at South Broadway. Aside from that, though, just some traffic to look out for, and you're going to hit some of that on I-25 through the downtown area, mostly on the northbound side, a little bit right by that 58th exit on the southbound side. Your 270 and I-70 junction is starting to build up for the day. And on 225 south, you're going to hit some light traffic off of I-70. And 225 north, it's light traffic off of I-25. Your Skyview weather, it is currently 67 outside. Your low tonight is 46, and your high tomorrow is 78.
The big game hunting season is upon us, and archery season is in full swing. Hi, this is Scott Watley with Sportsman of Colorado. Join us Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. We'll bring you local outfitters, experts in archery, muzzle loading, and rifle hunting, and much more. Looking for a place to hunt pheasant and waterfowl? We've got you covered. Want to book a trophy deer or elk hunt with a reliable outfitter? We can help. If you like the outdoors, you'll love Sportsman of Colorado. Sportsman of Colorado, Saturdays at 1, right here on KLZ 560.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
And this is Andy Pate filling in for John Rush on Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Dennis, you are on the line with Joe Jackson of the Colorado Republican Party.
Andy and Joe, thanks for taking my call.
Good to hear you, Dennis.
I wanted to ask you something I've asked John Rush in the past, and that is, what is the Republican Party doing right now to defeat Governor Polis when he decides to run for re-election?
Whoa, thinking ahead. I like it. What do you got, Joe?
We've got to. We've absolutely got to.
Well, I definitely appreciate the question there, and we're definitely focused on pushing back at any opportunity we can with Governor Polis. I'd say at the moment we're mostly focused on making sure that, you know, we're re-electing President Trump here in 33 days, and Senator Gardner and the people on the ballot this time But we're definitely taking every opportunity we can to draw a contrast between what Governor Polis is doing and the unconstitutional things he's trying to push, and making sure that Coloradans are aware of it. So in 2 years, they take that into consideration when they go to the ballot.
Yeah, Joe, when you Dennis makes a great point. When you get done with this election and you go into a cave somewhere and hibernate for about a month or two, because I can tell people it is unbelievably exhausting to go through the stretch run of a campaign. What are you going to do with this guy who has ruined our lives with COVID? Because that's what he's done. He has destroyed our lives. We are looking at places like South Dakota living the life, living the dream. We're looking at Florida that just went back to work fully. And we're living here in this nightmare under Polis. What do you think we're going to have to do to get the word out to people that, hey, it could have been a lot better for you?
And Andy, that's one of my points.
Yeah, go ahead, Dennis.
I think the Republican Party needs to find the cash to remind the citizens of Colorado each and every week what Governor Polis has done to this state.
Where would we do that? I mean, what do you think? What do you do? Billboards? Do we do on air? Newspaper, if anybody reads it anymore? What do you think, Joe?
Well, I mean, we can do a lot of that stuff, and I think we will be, post this election, really going hard after Governor Polis's record and the money he wants to keep spending out of everyone's pockets and the tax increases that he continues to support. But I think one thing that we're focused on now, too, is taking back the state senate or the state house and trying to get the people there that are willing to push back and say no to some of these programs that he's trying to pass currently or and during the next session. So, I mean, there are some things that everyone can be doing now, going out and supporting your local senate or state house candidates and making sure that they're out there fighting back against Polis's, plans to shut down the state again, tax increases he wants to do, all the budget cuts that he can use to take. We need to have conservative leadership out there fighting and having a voice. And part of that is making sure that we elect people this cycle in 33 days that can lead the fight heading into his reelection in 2 years.
Are you building up any kind of a track record of failure to pin on him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of outside groups, and there's definitely here we're definitely tracking what he's saying, what he's doing. But I think we're number one focused right now on what can be done this cycle to make sure that we keep the National Senate in Republican hands with Senator Gardner, make sure we keep President Trump in office, and then make sure that we take back the state Senate and keep making inroads in the state House. That is critical to beating back some of these extreme things that Governor Polis and his party wants to do, and it's something that we can accomplish with 33 days left. So I'd encourage everyone to go to collegeop.org/volunteer and sign up and help some of these candidates get across the finish line. That way they can help us push back against Governor Polis.
Yeah, and Joe, let me get to the Gardner or Trump stuff in just a moment. But Dennis, before we let you go, getting back to Polis, what would be your number one line of attack? What is the thing that you think is the worst thing about Polis that should be publicized going forward after the election?
Number one, the way he has shut down the state and its economy and taken away civil liberties. That the public needs to be reminded of that every week. And number two, I know we've got a big election coming up, but say November 15th, I think the Republican Party needs to take stock of past failures, have a statewide meet, if you will, have a coalition come up with a single candidate that they will back unequivocally from here on out to the election, back that candidate, and move this thing forward so we can defeat Polis.
Great ideas, Dennis. The only difference I would add is that it'll take more than a couple weeks of rest after this before they come together. But I think it's a great idea. Thanks a lot, Dennis.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dennis.
You bet. Take care. Hey, Joe, you just heard from the voice of the people there. I think he makes some good points going forward.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with Gardner, with Trump, do you see Trump as being more competitive in Colorado this time around than last time? Because I think nationally, in a lot of ways, we're seeing a red wave shaping up.
Oh, yeah, I think he's definitely going to be more do better in Colorado this time than last time. I think we have a huge ground game and ground field team in place that's going to help tremendously. But also he has 4 years of a record that people can judge and look at. I mean, I think even just these last couple of weeks we've seen with the Supreme Court nomination coming up, that's going to be something that people are going to be voting on. But he's also, worked on passing tax cuts. He has a whole list of promises made, promises kept items that he has come through on for the people. So people are going to go out there. They're going to look at what Joe Biden is proposing, the far left policies that he's going to line up with. And then they're going to contrast that with what President Trump has done and has accomplished these last couple of years. And I'm confident that when they go and fill out their ballot, they'll be marking it down for the president and Senator Gardner.
I think so, too. Real quick here again, before I finish up with you, how can people reach you guys and help you out?
Yeah, that's awesome. So we would love, if you want to volunteer or help us knock doors, make phone calls, do text, go to collegeop.org/volunteer and sign up. And one of our field team staffers will reach out to you in your area, get you all tied in with our team. We have a great team across the state that's really focused on pounding the pavement and talking to every voter we can about our candidates and about what they stand for and about how important this election is. I think I was with Lauren Boebert, who's our candidate there in CD3, 2 weeks ago on Western Slope.
Really quick, let me jump in there. How's it going up there?
It's going awesome. She's a great candidate. She's exciting. She's focused. She's working hard. She's across that district, unlike her opponent, who's just sitting in her basement in Steamboat. But like I was saying, Lauren was saying at this event that this is the last most important election we have. If we screw this up, we're going to have problems for the future. So everyone needs to make sure that they're voting, getting their friends out to vote, talking to their neighbors, and making sure that we pull through here in these final 33 days.
Joe, what does it do for your messaging, knowing that the other side is basically promising to legalize 22 million new Democrat voters, basically, if they win? They're promising to do that. They're promising to give statehood, really, to three new places, right, if you include D.C. They're promising to seize power to keep it going forward. When you look at people, can you basically tell them, hey, we want to compete in the setting that you've always had. They want to create a new setting, which is a one-party government. I mean, that's basically it. This is all for broke here, because if the other side wins, they are determined to create a one-party system.
Yeah, well, I think you say it right there, Andy. I think they have not been shy about saying that nothing is off the table if they win. They want to eliminate the filibuster and add in Puerto Rico and D.C. statehood. They want to pack the courts. They want to destroy the oil and gas industry. There's a whole list of things that they're willing to do here that are outside the norms and that we would never think of doing, but they're threatening to do just because they lost in 2016 and they haven't gotten over it. So I think that something that people need to be aware of is, if President Trump were not to win, or if Senator Hickenlooper were to win, it would not be good for our economy here in Colorado. It would not be good for Republicans nationwide. And it'd be a real problem moving forward.
Yeah, and I would say that Gardner and Hickenlooper has got to be the closest Senate race possibly in the country right now.
Yep.
I mean, well, if you ever thought that your vote didn't matter, folks, if you ever thought, geez, I'm just one person, get a friend, get them to get a friend. This is going to be razor close, and we can win this one.
Definitely. Well, and I'd encourage you to tell all your followers and listeners today, there's going to be a debate tomorrow between Senator Gardner and John Hickenlooper, and I think it's going to be a real clear contrast.
How can they tune into that?
I'd go to thecolorado.com, and they have a link going from there, but it'll also be on TV. So it's live from Pueblo, and it'll be the first opportunity for Coloradans to see John Hickenlooper and Senator Gardner debate because John Hickenlooper has refused to do earlier debates. He refused to do Club 20 on the Western Slope, and he's refused to do all of the other rural debates. So encourage everyone to tune in and really listen to what both sides are saying.
Okay, last question before I let you go here. Has it been weird, Joe? Has it been weird to be going up against a side that just seems to be trying to run out the clock? I mean, they're avoiding every debate, both nationally and statewide. I mean, everywhere you go, they're hiding. Their front runner, their guy, Joe Biden, hiding Biden, it seems like the whole party is doing that. What's it like for you trying to message against people who are trying to be invisible?
Well, I think it's clear that they're afraid to stand up for their left wing agenda. John Hickenlooper doesn't want to go out of his basement. Diane Mitch Bush doesn't want to get out of her basement. Joe Biden doesn't want to leave his basement to go talk about the things that they will do if they win. So I think people really need to see and look out and see who has been showing up to talk about things and who has been hiding in their basement and refusing to answer questions. I mean, John Hickenlooper had to be subpoenaed to go answer questions. That's how much he doesn't want to talk about his record or what he's done. So I think people will take that into account as they get ready to vote here.
I wish we could subpoena these guys for debates. I really do. All right, Joe. Okay, Joe Jackson, Communications Director for the Colorado Republican Party. Folks, if you want to help them, go to COLOGOP.org, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Folks, get out there and help them. Thank you so much, Joe. And we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, I'm going to take a look at my view of the presidential debate. And I guarantee you it's a view that you've not heard yet. I'm going to say the things that went wrong, but the things that could go very right going forward right here on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. You know, being in business for 6 decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purefoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purefoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
As people move toward the last phase of their lives, retirement, they're faced with many decisions, most of which are financial. For some, that can be filled with anxiety and uncertainty. I'm Al Smith, owner of Golden Eagle Financial, and I've been guiding people for many years as they prepare for or make that transition. I will listen very patiently about what you want your retirement to look like before I make any recommendations. In addition to creating the financial elements of a sound retirement plan, I'll share what I've learned from my clients about what they've done to make their final years fulfilling. It involves finding your purpose in retirement. For many, that may include giving back and helping those who need it. Arrange a free consultation with me, Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial, now at klzradio.com/money.
Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Barber's Foods has been feeding Colorado families the highest quality protein since 1949, sourced from farm, ranch, and fishing families that they know personally. In September and October, Barber's Foods is proud to offer your family wild-caught Alaskan sockeye fillets, caught by their own fishermen who personally catch the salmon in the Bristol Bay of Alaska in a boat that they own and operate. Go to barbersfoods.com to pre-order your Alaskan salmon fillets. And while you're there, check out the Morgan Ranch Wagyu, Colorado-sourced USDA choice beef and bison, Beeler's non-GMO gestation, crate-free Duroc pork, and Pittman Farms family air-chilled chicken products. Stock up now and save 5% off your entire order with the code SAVE5. You care where your food comes from. So buy your proteins from Barber's Foods, 100% Colorado native owned. Barber'sFoods.com.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
Really, what's the fair share? If you make $1 million a year, what do they think your fair share in taxes is? $900,000? I'll bribe a progressive to call this show and tell me what the fair share means.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
And Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pate filling in for John Rush. Got Charlie Grimes behind the window. Let's talk a little bit about the debate. All right, let's get into this. And I'm going to give you a perspective here in a moment that I don't think you've heard before. But first of all, I know a lot of people were really upset because it was like a war out there. I saw all these online polls of people saying, oh my gosh, this is so uncomfortable. I don't like this. I can understand that. I can understand that. I know that it's just too much of a war zone and people get sick of that. I get that. But folks, let me tell you something. We complain, but we're getting exactly what we really want. Everything has changed in presidential politics, and not because of Trump. For decades, we had always chosen one kind of president. We had chosen somebody who was an experienced governor, you know, Bush, Clinton, Bush, I mean, Reagan, Carter, so many of these. And we had taken people who were people that we understood because they had been in government for quite a while and had governed states generally. And that was their thing, right? That changed with Barack Obama. Barack Obama was an activist. So instead of getting somebody who governs everybody, who governs and serves everybody in a state, whether they're left wing, right wing, or in the middle, we, for the first time in certainly recent memory, chose a president who was an activist for his group. And he was proud of it. Okay. I mean, yes, he would come out and say, not right wing, not left wing, you know, American and whatever. He could do that, not red, not blue, but American. But he was lying and everybody knew it. Barack Obama represented his faction. And he was an activist president for them. My goodness, the guy was a community organizer before that, right? This was a first. America was signaling that it wanted something different. It had had enough of these people getting into office and just governing as things just kept going downhill, 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 right? We had the same thing all the time. First of all, we had 220 years of white male presidents. That wasn't going to fly anymore, and it got thrown out, and that's not a surprise. Do I think we should have elected Barack Obama? No. Horrible. Oh my gosh, what a terrible president. Absolutely unbelievable. First president in, I believe, U.S. history to go 8 years without a single year of 3% economic growth. And folks, that is really saying something considering he came in on the heels of a recession. He should have gotten 3% growth by doing nothing. Okay? I mean, he was a disaster. But people wanted something different. And in fact, his word was change. Well, Trump comes along after Obama, and Trump has often said, I'm here because of Obama. He made me necessary. Trump is also an activist president. Now, I think the difference with Trump is he does serve people of all sides. But when you see Trump talking at his rallies and you see Trump speaking, he comes off as very much preaching to his choir. Activists preach to their choir. Obama preached to his choir. Trump preaches to his choir. And that's why in their off-year elections, you know, 2010, 2014, 2018, they get clobbered because the other two-thirds of America says, hey, man, you don't represent me. You're just, all you care about is your peeps. What I'm saying is this. What we saw the other night was exactly what America has been wanting. We want a war zone. We complain about the war zone. But now for 12 straight years, we have chosen presidents, and I think this is a great one, by the way. I think Trump is the best president possibly of my lifetime. He's right there with Reagan, okay? But I agree with Trump. I'm in his choir. But we have chosen for the last 12 years as a people to have activists after decades and decades of governors. You see that difference, that shift? That shift happened in the population. And Obama and Trump are basically representative of that. So first of all, we shouldn't be really surprised by that. Now, Trump's team. I know a lot of people are looking at Trump and saying, Donald Trump, my gosh, he did this terrible job. Well, there was something that was very wrong with the strategy. But as somebody who's done some writing for campaigns and coaching of candidates, let me tell you something right now. That strategy was not Donald Trump's. Do I know that for sure? No, I'm not in the inner circle, but I'm very, very, very confident of it. Donald Trump has been out there doing his rallies and running a country. This means that in the meantime, he's got a team of people, some little group, probably four or five people, I don't know, maybe three. And this team assessed the market, and they assessed the issues, and they assessed Joe Biden, and they put together what they thought was a good strategy for this debate. This is what they thought was a good strategy. Problem is, they were wrong. This was the worst strategy I have ever seen. Okay. Now, by the way, I'm going to get to the good stuff here in a little bit, but first let's get the bad stuff out of the way. Let's do it right now. Trump's team used completely wrong strategy. You know why? Because of his opponent. Biden's entire campaign, folks, his entire campaign is only three words. Orange, man, bad. That's it. That's his entire campaign. Biden doesn't have any real plans. Any real plans he has, he just basically allows all his activists beneath him to cook him up. It's the same old socialist, communist stuff that we've always seen. How can we take over people's lives with the environmental movement, with this movement, with that movement, the feminist movement, and so forth? He doesn't care. He has no message. His message to try to win the presidency is three words: orange, man, bad. Trump makes you uncomfortable. He says things that make you angry. He's too mean. He's not presidential. They always say that word. I think that's hilarious. We had presidential presidents who ran us so far into debt with terrible economies, and we lost all our rights for the last 30, 40 years. I kind of like not presidential, but this is what they talk about. Orange man bad. Okay, if your opponent has orange man bad as his entire campaign, doesn't it make sense that you should go into that debate wanting to disprove that? Huh? Makes sense? You're going to go into that debate wanting to be the opposite of orange man bad. Well, Trump's team instead coached him. And by the way, he was coached to do this. Trump's a busy man. They gave him a framework and a basic, approach that they wanted him to take for this debate. They did. And what it was is this: hey, Chris Wallace is going to be against you, so you get aggressive. You've got to hold Biden's feet to the fire. You go after him. You be the fighter. Okay, how does that come off? When Trump is interrupting, do you think that suburban women voters looked at that and thought, oh, what a great guy. I like that. You know, I wasn't so sure about him before, but boy, I'm more comfortable with him. Now, this is my kind of guy. You know, I'd like to have him over to dinner. No. It made Orange Man Bad stick. Terrible strategy. And when you're attacking, once again, you're looking like the mean guy. We already know Trump is the right guy. We already know his views are right. We already know his message is great. We already know he does incredible things for the country. He has a track record that he can roll out proudly and gently and nicely and just talk about the people he's helping. He did some of that, of course, but not enough. Orange man bad. That's your opponent's take on this entire election. And what does Trump do? Because he's told to. He was marching according to what they advised, because he didn't have time to prepare for this. They prepared him. He went into this and made Orange Man Bad look correct. That was the big problem. All right. And by the way, Trump was not Trump in this debate. Let me finish this before break real quick. Trump is not a puncher by nature, folks. He's a counterpuncher. Trump isn't somebody who by nature wants to go after people. He likes to let them come after him, and then he counterpunches and zings them, right? And when he does that, it's great. He's very naturally funny that way. He's very naturally gifted that way. Well, in this debate, his team coached him to be a puncher, and he punched himself completely out of his game. When you get out of your game, whatever you are, maybe you're a puncher, maybe you're a counterpuncher, maybe you're neither, whatever you are, if you get out of your game, you're going to lose focus. And Trump lost focus. There were so many times in this debate where I'm sitting there thinking, oh man, do this answer. Oh man, do that answer. Oh man, if you could just, he never did. He was out of his game, and he was taken out of his game by his team. Now, should he fire these people? No, I'm not saying that. But I do believe that the strategy has to change going forward. And it has to change very quickly. Now, that's the bad news. And after the break, I'm going to get to the good news because there's quite a bit here. We're also going to take a look at Chris Wallace because he was a joke. And I'm going to explain to you just how bad Chris Wallace was in this debate. But also, the future looks very bright for the next debate between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Let's take a timeout, and we will come right back on Rush to Reason, KLZ 560.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
Mistakes happen. Auto repair shops prove their mettle when something goes wrong. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker recognizes that mistakes happen. They're committed to doing what they say, even when that means replacing a failed part for free or honoring the original price they quoted a customer despite unexpected issues. They hear all the time from their loyal customers, that's what keeps them coming back, because of how the entire team responds when something goes wrong. The techs at Extreme Auto level with you, following through to fix the problem. They don't just replace parts, they repair vehicles. It's that same degree of integrity that keeps their employees around long-term, too. The average Extreme Auto technician has 16-plus years of experience, and they stick around because they share the same commitment when something goes wrong. We do what we say. No arguments, no excuses. Just apologize and work to make it right. KLZradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Between the high home values and low interest rates of today's market, you want to call Bruce Simmons now about refinancing your reverse mortgage. Your home value has increased since you first took out your loan. By refinancing at today's low interest rates, you could pull more money out of your home without increasing your loan balance. Convert an even larger portion of the value of your home into tax-free money that you may use however you wish. Plus, as long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, you will never need to worry about making a mortgage payment as long as you live in the home. KLZ's reverse mortgage professor, Bruce Simmons, makes a potentially confusing loan program easy to understand. Right now, Bruce can even walk you through the numbers virtually, line by line, from your home computer. Visit klzradio.com/reverse and ask Bruce to run the numbers for you. Find out how much you could benefit from refinancing your reverse mortgage.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
You're listening to KLZ 560. I'm Nicole Pascal here with your traffic and weather. You're going to run into an accident that has the left lane blocked on I-25 South at I-70, causing backups to I-76. Then there's a crash on Broadway at Quincy Avenue. You also need to be aware of some road work going on 225 South at Parker Road. And also on I-70 East, where they have the roadway reduced down to one lane at E-470, and that one's causing backups to US 40. And also be aware, Arapahoe Road is closed due to damaged gas line at South Broadway. Aside from that, though, just be aware your heaviest spot of traffic at the moment is on 225, both north and southbound, between that Colfax and I-70 area. Your Skyview weather, it is currently 67 out, your low tonight is 46, and your high tomorrow is 78.
October 10th, mark it on your calendar. It's the Western Conservative Summit, and it will feature, at no cost, the movie America, America, God Shed His Grace on Thee. Kim Munson here. Friday, Jeff Hunt, director of the Centennial Institute, shares what he has planned for the 2020 Western Conservative Summit. Casper Stockham, candidate for CD7, updates us on the latest issues you care about. Mortgage specialist Lauren Levy and award-winning realtor Karen Levine inform us about their hot markets. All this Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., and 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560.
Want to learn how to speak clearly, effectively, and persuasively? Check out Liberty Toastmasters. Find more details at KimMunson.com. Toastmasters, where leaders are made.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
And welcome back to Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Andy Pates sitting in for John Rush, who's having a very well-deserved day off. And Charlie Grimes is behind the window. Okay. Now, I've told you the bad strategy they use, but let's talk about Chris Wallace. Folks, Trump was up against it. One reason that Trump had to punch extra and be taken out of his game is because he was fighting two guys. And I'm not just alleging that. Let's listen to just a little bit of it right now. Here we go. Clip one.
Are you willing to tell the American people tonight whether or not you will support either ending the filibuster or packing the court?
Whatever position I take in that, that'll become the issue. The issue is the American people should speak. You should go out and vote. You're in voting now. Vote and let your senators know how strongly you feel. Vote now.
Are you going to pack the
court? Make sure you, in fact, let people know.
He doesn't want
your
to answer
senator.
The question.
I'm not going to answer the question.
Why
because,
would you answer that
because
question?
Because the
you
question
want to put
is
a lot of
the
new
question
Supreme Court justices, radical
question,
left.
Will you
who
shut
is your,
up, man?
Listen.
Now, first of all, I want to say in that spot there, Donald Trump was brilliant. Wonderfully done. Absolutely wonderfully done. But come on, Chris. How could you not do some follow-up with that? Wallace, after this, says the topic is ended. Ended? Are you kidding me? Are you crazy? Biden never answered whether he'd expand the court to seize power, whether he'd get rid of the filibuster to seize power. This is all about whether or not this guy is going to seize and expand his power in the United States. And you let that go? My goodness. Would you have let that go, Chris, if that were Trump saying that? I'm not going to answer that. You get out there and vote. My gosh, that's terrible. Okay, let's listen to another clip. This one about the Green New Deal.
I mean, the Green New Deal and the idea of what your environmental changes will do.
The Green New Deal will pay for itself as we move forward. We're not going to build plants that, in fact, are great polluting plants.
Could you support the Green New Deal?
Pardon me?
Do you support
that? No, I don't support the Green New Deal.
Oh, you don't? Oh, well, that's a big statement.
I support
that means
the
you just asked the radical left.
I support the Biden plan that I put forward.
Okay.
The Biden plan, which is different than what he calls the radical Green New Deal.
The Biden plan. Folks, what's the obvious here? Chris, you have to do the simplest question ever. What is it? How is the Biden plan different from the Green New Deal? How do you not ask? How do you not ask that? How do you let him off the hook? For crying out loud, Joe, your running mate, co-sponsored the Green New Deal. As I said in the last hour, the head of your environmental team. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She champions it. So, Joe, right now, tell us, what are the differences between your plan and the Green New Deal? Outline this, please, because we want to know where you disagree with the Green New Deal. Now, do you think for a second that Chris Wallace would have let Trump off with that? My gosh, not a chance. Here's a few more things. First of all, Chris Wallace interrupted Biden 15 times in this debate. He interrupted Trump 76 times. Did you get that? 76 to 15. He peddled, this is Wallace, the completely debunked Democrat talking point on Trump's Charlottesville comments. That has been debunked. That has been proven to be an absolute Democrat lie, and Chris Wallace put it out there as an actual question. It was nuts. Here's another one. He shut down the Hunter discussion, the Hunter Biden discussion, after Biden lied about the $3.5 million payment being discredited, right? Trump goes after him, says, hey, your son got this $3.5 million from this Russian oligarch, and, you know, this person's tied to Putin. And Biden says, that's been discredited. What? No, it hasn't. Where has it been discredited? Why didn't Chris Wallace simply ask him, really, could you explain how it's been discredited? Would that have been hard, folks? I mean, he interrupted Trump 76 times. Do you think maybe he could have simply asked Biden, okay, could you please explain how that's been discredited? He didn't. Climate change. Here's a good one. He actually phrased part one of his question to Biden like this. Listen to this. This is Chris Wallace to Biden. You propose $2 trillion in green jobs. You talk about new limits, not abolishing, but new limits on fracking. What a lie, folks. He's painting it in the most positive picture possible for Pennsylvania. You know, that's hard to say. For Pennsylvania voters. Because Pennsylvania voters are going to leave Biden. They're going to leave him if he comes out directly against fracking. But the problem is, he's on tape doing it. And Wallace didn't say a word about it. He actually let that go. The moderator was peddling lies against Trump and in defense of Biden. That's incredible. Blows my mind. Last one. Wallace even called critical race theory, you know, that stuff that Trump has thrown out of the government. He called it race sensitivity training, racial sensitivity training. Is he joking? White staffers being told to be silent and sit in the discomfort of their racism? Signs? They have signs saying that all white people are racist. Seriously? That's sensitive? Total pro-Biden garbage by Wallace. 100%. Wallace, hey, Chris, I got news for you. When you put out trainings and tell every group but one that they deserve more sensitivity, what are you saying about the one? Okay, you've got, you know, black people over here and Hispanic people there and gay people there and women over here. And every group, you got them like a donut around one group sitting in the middle, white, male, heterosexuals. And you say, this group in the middle needs to be sensitive to all of you. You're doing two things. First of all, you're denying sensitivity to the group in the middle. But moreover, Chris, you're making them the villain of America. And what have the results of that been, Chris? What have the results been? Violence, anger, bitterness, white guilt, raging in the streets. You've got people feeling that they're justified in beating somebody because they're the white male oppressor. That's what comes from critical race theory, Chris. Folks, Chris Wallace was a terrible moderator, and the Trump team never should have agreed to have him moderate at all. He never should have been there. That was a mistake by the Trump team. It really was. Never, ever do that again. So what we're looking at here is Chris Wallace was incredibly biased. Trump knew that he was incredibly biased, so Trump punched himself right out of his game. But going forward, here's the good news. Biden told a lot of lies and dodged a lot of questions. Those are all going to come back. All Trump has to do is change his style. Biden cannot change his content. And that's why he's in trouble going forward in the next debate. And we are done with this hour. And in the next hour, I'm looking forward to talking to Secretary of the Interior, David Bernhard, at the top of the hour. We'll see you then here on Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.